Hey, hey, everyone. Your host, Tamara here. Yep, that's right. Host of Inside Launch Street Podcast, creator of the Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment, and host of the Everyday Innovators Online Academy. That's where you get that ongoing tools and support you need to elevate your game, ignite innovation, influence others, and lead strong. So we've got a great podcast for you this morning. Hey, before I get into it, I want to share with you something that's actually made a real impact on my ability to perform at my peak. It's something that I get to use daily, and I want to share it with you. It's called Focus at Will. Now, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I really struggle with distractions. And those distractions are kind of internal and external. Sometimes they're, you know, the texts and the emails and the beeps and, I don't know, cars going by. And other times, it's just all the chatter that's in my head that gets in the way of me focusing and being present and really putting kind of everything into my task at hand, whatever it is that I'm doing. And then I discovered something called Focus at Will. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. It is music that is put together, scientifically proven, to unlock that focus, that productivity, that creativity in your brain. I have had a subscription for years now. I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years. I'm not even sure it's been so long, but I don't know what it is, but it is magic. And every time I turn it on and I just put up the webpage, I play the music while I'm trying to get stuff done, it elevates everything. Before I know it, I am in the creative zone, as they call it. I am in the innovation flow and I am doing it. They have different stations, different beats. They have different like low, medium, and high, depending on kind of what type of person you are. And I have a couple stations that I just absolutely love. And I know, especially when I'm struggling, that every time I turn Focus at Will on, that it's go time. It is game time. And that could be anything from answering emails to working on a PowerPoint presentation to planning content out for my podcast to getting ready for a big meeting. Focus at Will. Go check it out. I think in a world where we are inundated with distractions, even now more so than ever, we need those things that just pull us in, that keep us present and keep us focused. And Focus at Will does that. Go check it out. Could not recommend it more. All right. Today's podcast. So this is a question that came from one of you. Now, if you are in my Facebook group online, on Facebook, it's the Leadership and Innovation Group. It's public, but you have to request to join. We want to make sure that you're really there to perform at your peak, to innovate, to be a part of the community. So you have to apply. One of the questions we ask is, if you could wave a magic wand and pick any topic for Tamara to cover in her podcast or Bursts of Innovation or Facebook Lives, what would it be? And one of them we got in, I wanted to address because I know it is one that so many of us struggle with. And it's this: how do you keep your magic from getting stale as time passes? I get excited at new ideas and use them, but then tend to fall back on old tricks and habits. Keeping the magic alive. So that is what we're going to talk about in today's podcast. So what do you say? We get to it.
You've landed Inside Launch Street, the business innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
I want to start talking about how to keep the magic alive by talking about something called the emotional cycle of change. Now, I know that sounds maybe a little academic, a little emotional, but it's actually going to set up why innovation, why keeping that magic alive can sometimes feel hard and why, as you referenced, you get pulled back into the old habits and the old tricks. I also want to refer you to the last podcast I did about the J curve of innovation. I would highly recommend going and checking that out. I think that was last Tuesday. We'll put the link in the show notes for that as well. But the J curve is a big part of it too, about that kind of dip down and the naysayers that pull us back. But I want to focus on this one on Kelly and Connor's emotional cycle of change. So they're the researchers that discovered this. And it's a really interesting cycle that shows why we start with what we think of as magic, excitement, and then we dip down. And here's why. When we start any change cycle, and by the way, that can be change can be changing our habits, our behaviors, trying to change our mindsets. It can be driving a new innovation and a new idea into the marketplace. So change is innovation in a lot of ways. And here's what Kelly and Connor really realized. So stage one in this cycle, and this is where I think you would call it the magic, right? This is where we have uninformed optimism. This is where we're excited. This is where we feel the ideas. This is where we're eager to make the change, to drive the innovation. This is where we are, well, as it says, this is where we're optimistic and we cannot wait to keep going. So this is how we start out. And this is why it feels magical in the beginning, because we're optimistic and we're somewhat uninformed. Frankly, if we were too informed in the beginning, we'd never make change. We go, oh my gosh, that is too hard. So stage one is uninformed optimism. It's the magic. Then the next stage is, wait for it, informed pessimism. So here's what happens. We're uninformed, but we're excited. Things are magical. We think we're informed enough anyway. But then as the rubber meets the road, we start to realize all the things that need to change, the adjustments. We realize what has to happen. We start to experience the hard work that comes along with whatever this innovation or changes we're trying to implement. And that is why the magic goes away, as you said it, and you start to go back to the old habits, because this is where it hurts. This is where it's hard. That's why this stage is called informed pessimism. And this is often where we drop out. It's right here. It's only in stage 2 of 5 that we drop out. And you are not alone, Shannon. This is where, right, a lot of us drop out, as you said. You start to go back to old habits and tricks. It's hard not to. Because it's hard. It takes work. The naysaying and the doubting comes in both in our head and out in the world. If we can make it through that, I'm going to talk about some things in that area. We can get to stage 3, which is, I think, a really great place to get to. And you know when you get there. And it's called hopeful realism. Hopeful realism is when you start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, when the hard work starts to pay off, when you start to realize what it's really going to take to drive this change, to keep this innovation going. You're realistic, but you're hopeful. That's where you start to feel the rewards. And then from there, you go to stage 4, which is informed optimism. So it's almost the flip of where you start. If where you start is uninformed optimism, as you get through this, it looks like a bell curve. Right? You get to informed optimism. So this is where now you're really seeing the rewards. You're really seeing what's possible. The innovation and the change is starting to really pay off, right? So that excitement comes back to you, to the people around you. And then stage 5 is completion. Now, I would argue that in our world, in innovation and change, it's never really complete. You're kind of constantly going through this cycle. And I think that's why it can be so hard. So to summarize the cycle, stage 1, uninformed optimism. Woohoo! This is so great. No idea what it's gonna take, but I'm excited to do it. Like, I want the rewards, I want the benefits. Stage 2, informed pessimism. Woo! There is a lot to do here. This is hard work. This is where people drop out. Stage 3, hopeful realism. All right, okay. All right, I get it. There's some things here challenging, but here's where it's gonna work. I'm starting to see the rewards. Stage 4, informed optimism. All right, I get it. I know it needs to happen. I'm doing it. I am excited about it again. The magic is back. Stage 5, completion. And again, in our world, I would argue that completion never really happens. So I think Keller and Connor's emotional cycle of change really do help us understand, Shannon, why that why that magic fades so fast, it feels like sometimes, and why it's so hard to keep it going is because that informed pessimism really takes over and the doubting and the naysaying comes in. I want to share with you a couple things that I think really can help you push through and keep the magic going. But keep the magic going in a very realistic way, in a way that is like in this cycle, hopeful realism or even informed optimism, because I think those are the two places that allow us to keep the magic going, but deal with what's in front of us, have a relationship with reality, which I know you've all heard me talk about before. You got to have a relationship with reality. You can't fight reality. So the first is I want to share a story with you because this is often what happens to a lot of us and why the magic fades. And we have to be aware of it to be able to combat it. And it's, you know, that old kind of torture way of death by 10,000 cuts. So that was an old, old way of torture, physical torture, because it wouldn't kill the person, right? It would just constantly hurt them just a little bit, a little bit. So that happens on a psychological level too. So I'll give you an example in my personal world and let me relate it back to innovation. So a while back, got after my second son, Ari, who's now 12. So this is when he was like two or three. So like 10, 11 years ago, I was struggling with health, fitness, weight, all of it. And I found a CrossFit gym and for the first time in my life, felt like I had the right community, the right program, all of it to get my butt into shape. And I was feeling great. And I was going at 5 o'clock in the morning, which means I had to get up at 4 o'clock, right? And going to the gym every single day. I loved it. Now I was asleep, of course, by 8 o'clock every night, but I absolutely loved it. So every day, basically what I would do is I'd get up, I'd have my coffee, I'd go to the gym, I'd have my workout. And now I'm feeling really good, right? I've just done my first pull up. I've lifted some weights. I've run, like, you know, you get that high from working out. And then I'd come home and I'd get my kids ready for school. And then I'd walk my youngest to his elementary school. And my oldest, Liam, he's 4 years older. So he was just in elementary school. And they tell you, by the way, that I confuse them all the time. So now I know how my mom used to feel. So one day, I'll never forget, I'm walking my oldest Liam to school. And I'm walking with a bunch of parents. You know, we'd all kind of congregate as we walked the 4 or 5 blocks to school. And I'll never forget, it was like death by 10,000 cuts on this one walk. So I'm feeling all good. I got my coffee. I've done my workout. I've done my first pull-up like ever, I think. And I remember one parent saying to me, "Are you still doing that crazy CrossFit stuff? Are you sure you're not too old for that?" Cut number one. And then another one says, "Tamara, you should really sleep a little bit more. It's not healthy to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning." Cut number two. And then another one says something like, "Maybe you should try walking. I think that's too much impact on your weights at your age." Cut number three. Those cuts kept coming. By the time we got to school, I'd gone from standing tall to just like sinking into myself. And I started to doubt, what am I doing? Maybe they're right. I don't, like, we should stop this. All that magic, all that enthusiasm, all that excitement I felt for elevating my game, for doing what I thought was right for me, went away. And it wasn't until later that day that I realized, oh my gosh, I see what's happening. That was death by 10,000 cuts. Now, these are wonderful people. They didn't mean to hold me back. They didn't mean to give me all those little cuts, but they did. And I think oftentimes in life, when we're trying to innovate, when we're trying to change, we're trying to elevate our game, whether that is bringing our best to work every day, getting into shape, learning a new skill, whatever it is, the people around us, when we do that, when we elevate, it creates a big gap between us and the people around us start to get confronted with their mediocrity and their lack of desire to go to that next level. And so they accidentally and oftentimes very unintentionally try to pull you down and take that magic away. And the problem that we have is oftentimes we believe them and we let it happen. So Shannon, when you talk about the magic going away and going back into old habits, I would think about how much of that is because of death by 10,000 cuts, by other people's mediocrity trying to pull you down. I've seen it time and time again We're up there. We're doing the hard work. We're in, even if we're in that informed pessimism stage, we're like, we're doing it, right? We are committed to elevating our game. And then the people around us say things and do things that pull us back down. And the magic fades. Not only does magic fade away, but we kind of feel silly for even doing it. And at work, it shows up like, whoa, Shannon, let's not, like, hey, let's not overdo it here. Let's hold off on that. I don't, like, that seems like a lot of work right now. Or, wow, look at you. Somebody had some Gatorade this morning, right? There's a lot of, you know how it shows up. You'll start to see it. And I want you to be hyper aware of it, because death by 10,000 cuts is a big reason why the magic fades and we go back into old habits. And I want to be clear, the people that do that, that are like, you know, trying to pull us down by the big toe back into mediocrity, it's not about you. It's about them. 99% of the time, they're not mean. They're not malicious. They're not even aware of what they're doing. But your greatness confronts them. Now, I will tell you that I kept at it, right? I had a moment, realized what was going on, and in that realization, understood how to combat it. And I kept going and I kept going and I kept going. And over time, my elevated game didn't actually confront people. It inspired people. And suddenly other people in my neighborhood who are not fitness driven at all were going for more walks in the afternoon, eating a little bit healthier, going to the gym. Now, I wasn't out to inspire them. This was my personal journey, but my change and the magic and the enthusiasm I had for staying in it and continuing forward, even when it was hard, ultimately inspired some change in other people. And that is true in life, and it is true in work. But you got to get past that initial stage of death by 10,000 cuts to get there. Now, some people will always be confronted. Some people will always prefer the pull of and the comfort of mediocrity, and there's nothing you can do about them. That's about them, not about you. But the reason the magic dies is because of all those little cuts. So don't let them happen. Put on armor, put on a thick skin, do what you need to do. Truly, I think just knowing that that is what's happening with other people allows you to deal with it. I just smile and say, yeah, I know, right? And I move on. I don't even try to argue it. I don't need to. I know and they know. We all know. So don't let that happen to you. Having that thick skin, having that armor, seeing it happen around you will keep the magic going. All right, the second thing I want to share with you here is to keep the magic going is, and this is going to sound so basic, but it's so true, is schedule it. Schedule your innovation, schedule your behavior, schedule your habit, whatever it is you're trying to implement, schedule it and then do it. Here's what I find when it comes to being an innovator. People in our online academy, one of the things we talk about is scheduling 5-10 minutes in the morning to do something that allows you to unlock your innovative mind, like get that innovation metabolism revved up and firing for the day, and to do it in a way that speaks to you. So everyone in our academy has taken our everyday innovator, has taken our innovation quotient edge assessment, discover their everyday innovator style, their unique style and strength of innovation. I really hope you have too. If you haven't, please go to our website. By the way, it's free. Yep, I just said it. It's a gift to the world right now. We made it free. It used to not be, because we wanted everybody to have that gift of higher performance. The thing, our big goal, the big thing that we're working towards is unleashing 1 million everyday innovators into the world, because we could do incredible things if more of us were out there innovating. So to keep that magic going for yourself, we talk about scheduling it in a morning, scheduling an activity in the morning that works for you to unlock your innovative mind. And the reason I mentioned the assessment is in the back of the report, there are actual exercises for you to do that. Like, how do you unlock your innovative mind? It's in the report right there. You don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to try to solve that. I got you. I got it solved. Scheduling it though, make sure it happens. Here's what I find. If it's important to you, it gets done. But if it doesn't get scheduled, it gets harder for it to get done. So schedule it and make it happen. If you were training for a marathon, you would schedule your running. If you were preparing for the biggest speech of your life, you would schedule time to practice. Well, innovation, that magic, you got to schedule the magic. here's something that's going to sound ridiculous. Magic isn't magical. It happens because you intentionally go after it. So schedule times, book in ways for you to keep the magic going. All right, the third thing I want to share is something that I call the 2% rule. So part of the reason, particularly when it comes to change and innovation, that we back off is because when we get from uninformed optimism, woohoo, yay, I can't wait, to informed pessimism, we realize how big of a shift we're trying to make and how hard it's going to be. And oftentimes, I find that the biggest thing that holds people back from keeping that magic going isn't the outcome you're looking for, that summit you're trying to reach. It's not that. That's still really exciting. But it's that realization that there's this massive gap between you, where you are standing, the little ledge, the cliff that you're on, and that summit you're trying to reach, right? It's a big shift. It's a big move. It's a big change. So here's what I'd say. Don't change your summit. That is your passion. That is the energy. That is where you should go. There's a reason that's the summit. But change how you think about getting there and follow that, this what I call the 2% rule, which is at every turn, every day, every moment, ask yourself, how can I do this 2% differently to get there? If you started on that same cliff of yours and did what you always did, you'd get to the same result, right? That's not the summit you're going after. But if you make a 2% shift and a 2% shift and a 2% shift, you can visualize in your head, right? The line is going to separate and go in a different direction, that space of innovation. You're going to get to your summit. We make it too hard on ourselves. We make it exhausting. And that's why the magic disappears, is because we burn ourselves out. So instead of trying to focus on I'm here and I need to leap so high and in, like way off and onto the left to get to the summit, this new space of innovation, I just want you to think about 2%. How do I do this 2% differently? How do I add 2% more to what I'm doing? How would I add 2% more value, whatever it is? But what I find is that when we do the 2% and we think about that, innovation becomes easy. Our brain looks at it and goes, oh, that's doable. That's possible. Yeah, I could totally do that. I'm down for that. Just 2%. Can you do 2%? 2% different? Yeah, of course you can. This is something that I actually follow every single day. I still do, because that 2% is so doable to me. It means rereading my email and then just maybe adding a little twist at the end. It means thinking about, you know, when I think about growing my podcast numbers, for example, it's not about like, oh my God, I'm here and I need to get all the way over there and add like 5 zeros to the end of it. Ah, right? No, no. It's about, okay, how do I reach only 1,000 more people versus like 100,000 more people? You see the point? Like that's just a 2% thing that I can focus on doing. Okay, well, how would I do that? Okay, if I'm doing my social media this way, how do I do it 2% differently? Or is there like, 2% could be, here's one, you know, place that I haven't looked at before that I can post something that isn't my usual way of doing it. Just 2%. All right. And the last thing I want to share, and this is really both a mindset and a tool, is, hey, take little steps. All those little steps will add up to the momentum. It kind of falls in line with the 2% rule, right? Don't worry about going from where you are right now and keeping that magic as you magically leap through the air big to the summit. Just think about little steps, little moments. All those little steps add up. When I'm trying to keep the innovation going, I break things down to the smallest possible milestones you could actually imagine. I mean, they are so ridiculously small. Some of them seem insignificant. But checking those off, giving myself a little virtual high five as I get there, makes me feel so good that I keep going and I keep going and I keep going. So at every point, if I'm implementing this 2% rule and I'm rewarding myself and recognizing and breaking things down so I feel like I have momentum, I'll keep more momentum. That momentum really matters in keeping the magic going. Momentum equals magic. Remember that, Shannon. Momentum equals magic. All right, that is how you keep the magic going. First of all, you recognize this curve, Kelly and Connor's emotional cycle of change. so that you can get past this informed pessimism and back over to hopeful realism and informed optimism. You recognize so that you can combat the death by 10,000 cuts. You schedule it and make it a priority. Follow the 2% rule and break it down. Make the steps as little as possible. Now, Shannon, I don't know if you lead a team or this is really just for you, but this can also apply to a team as well. If you think about this from a leader perspective, whether that team are direct reports, people you report to, colleagues, contractors, your clients, whatever it is, these things work across the board in keeping that magic going. Because I know it's easy to check out. But hey, when you keep that magic going, the rewards are so much bigger and greater on the other side. All right, Shannon, thanks for asking that. So good to be with you all. I'll see you next time. Tamara out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.